This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
And then it just so happened that my buddy that was helping me out with everything, he had done this food challenge before, which I had never done a food challenge before, but it was a 28-inch pizza challenge that weighed about 11 pounds in St. Louis, Missouri.
Holy,
he had tried it with an old football coach, and they just lost miserably. And so he
28 inches, what is that, diameter?
28 inches diameter.
Now, is that big? I don't know how big a pizza is. Is that big relative to a pizza? It's enormous?
Well, it's definitely, they call it a party pizza.
Oh, okay. So it's like one of those large pies.
Like, yes. Big yeah.
Like 28 pizza, inches but it was 30 rambling. Inches.
Or, yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, you definitely have to have a special oven. Because, yep. I mean, like Papa John's is like 12 inches, 6 inches.
Yeah, or 16 inches 16 maybe. Inches,
yeah. Like
twice the size of a normal pizza.
Well, and then once you get into that big of a diameter,
right.
It just gets crazy with the area that happens. I mean, the difference between a 30-inch pizza and a 28-inch pizza, while just 2 inches in diameter, is a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole ring. Failed. A whole ring of 2-inch ring all the way
around
the pizza. Yeah, I
understand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then like, plus, you said there was stuff on the pizza, right? And there's a lot of surface to cover.
Yeah, you could either go with 2 meat toppings or 4 vegetable toppings.
Okay.
He had gone with bacon with the previous partner, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Because when you're eating that much, you don't want to have something that's so salty.
Yeah.
And so he said he wanted to try this challenge again with me because he knew I could eat.
For this challenge? This wasn't a competition. This was at a restaurant, right?
It was at a restaurant called Pointer's Delivery or Pointer's Pizza.
Okay.
We had 1 hour to finish this pizza. And if we won, we were going to get the $50 pizza for free, which would have been $50 if we lost. But then more importantly, we would have gotten a check for $500.
Oh, that's better
and
than
so the- that was one of the driving motivations.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, that'd be a fun way to treat ourselves. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So ended up, he came down to Kansas City from St. Louis to help with final photos and stuff like that. The winner of the transformation contest was going to get a trip to Auckland, New Zealand to appear on the show Spartacus. And so I went all out. I went on a Halloween costume website and bought this Spartacus outfit and put a bunch of baby oil on and got
That's funny.
2-week fake tanning package stuff like that. So I went all out.
Yeah.
But then a week after taking the final photos, I came back to St. Louis and we did that challenge and we ended up winning. I think our official time was like 48 minutes. And then that's what kind of really got me into all these food challenges and everything that I'm still doing today.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hey, everybody. My name is Randy Santel. I'm a professional leader from Missouri. I've got over 829 food challenge wins, similar to on the show Man vs. Food that you might have watched years ago, in all 50 states plus Washington, D.C., and then in over 37 countries around the world. My goal is to get up to 1,000, and then by the time that happens, I'll be a registered dietitian, and then I'll be converting all my social media as a professional leader over to helping people with understanding nutrition and weight management.
All right, Randy. So thanks for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you being a guest. And where are you originally from?
All my family is in St. Louis. I'm in Springfield, Missouri. I just finished up. It's like 3.5 hours away. In St. Louis, Missouri. Kind of near Joplin. Did you ever hear about all those tornadoes a couple years ago?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I actually just got my second degree last May 2019 in dietetics so that I can be a dietitian in the future. But Springfield has one of the lowest ever standards of living. So since 2016, I've been paying just $405 a month all in for rent.
Wow.
And then if I move to St. Louis, Kansas City, really anywhere else that I know of, if you want to pay that low, you're going to be getting in a crime area or something like that. So I'll be on tour doing food challenges for a couple months at a time. And so basically I'm just paying $405 for a storage unit with my apartment, which is not a bad deal at all.
Yeah.
Back in 2013, when I raised all the money to fund foodchallenges.com and all the stuff I was working on, I sold roofs up in Omaha, Nebraska. And I think I was paying like $750 a month for my storage unit apartment back in Kansas City. So
you were in the roofing business originally? You were a roofer?
My first degree in 2008 from Missouri State was construction management.
Okay.
So after that, I spent years as a construction estimator.
I
worked for a general contractor in Kansas City, and then I worked for a concrete company for quite a few years. But then I knew that in order to make serious money, in order to fund the new website I was wanting to do, a trip Europe and a whole bunch of stuff, I was going to need to do something that was more merit-based. And so I had never done sales before. My buddy kind of got me into it that I was friends with. A big hailstorm happened in Omaha, Nebraska. Hail hit like 60,000 homes.
Wow.
So I was
big
up there.
Hail, like golf ball size hail, like big hail?
It was pretty good hail.
Wow.
It wasn't like watermelons or baseballs or anything. But yeah, in some spots, there were definitely some golf ball sized.
Okay.
So, but everybody in the roofing business was flocking there, and I had no sales experience, so you learn quick when you jump all in.
So you had a construction background, but you hadn't really done sales, and so now you're out selling roofs, but people didn't have roofs, so how hard could it be?
Oh, yeah. No, well, that's the one thing, too, is I was selling something that people wanted.
Right.
So we were selling them and basically getting them paid for by their insurance. Right. But I never worked with all my first jobs were in the back of a restaurant.
Right.
I was an executive chef at Burger King, sandwich artist, and I worked in an Italian restaurant for like 3 years just doing dishes. So I didn't ever really learn any people skills or get to practice them through any of my restaurant previous stuff like that. Or in estimating, you don't really deal with too many people either. I was always just on a computer using the software called On-Screen Takeoff to figure out how much was all inside of a building. But jumped right
in. A little bit of background in food, though, ironically, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always loved food.
So you'll tell me how you made the change, but like what attracted you to, tell me, you were telling me off mic the other day, but tell me what attracted you to professional eating?
Well, my first, when I played high school football and then I played college football as well.
Okay.
And through that, growing up, I always loved food. But in high school, I had to gain 100 pounds in a year. Well, I didn't have to.
In order to play football, right?
In order to be a better, a stronger, definitely not faster, but bigger offensive lineman.
Right. Okay.
So once I was done, I played for 3 years in college. Once I was done.
Missouri State?
At Missouri State, yes.
Okay.
You know, I was an offensive lineman there. I was trying to get my weight back down because I knew I didn't need to be that big.
Right.
So in 2010, I found out about this body transformation contest sponsored by Men's Health Magazine. And then the television show Spartacus. Did you ever watch that on the Starz Network?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a movie Spartacus, but it's a little different.
Yeah, that movie was forever ago.
Yeah,
I never did watch that, but I ended up competing. I spent, I think, 8 of the 12 weeks. I found out about it late. So my buddy helped me with all my diet and my exercise and everything I was doing to try to get...
This was post... This was after football, right?
Yeah.
I graduated football. You're like, I got to cut down.
I was in 2008.
Got it.
And so this was in 2010. I was working in construction. I had already been laid off for my first job in construction because it was all pretty bad, 2008 to 2010.
Right. Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is I almost got fired from my job that I had because I was so committed to this body transformation contest.
That's funny.
I was working out on my lunches and stuff like that. But like 2 or 3 weeks before the contest was going to be over, I was just wondering, okay, I was dedicating all this time and energy to getting down. My goal was about 225, and I got down there, which is awesome. Okay. But especially considering I was 346 as a high school football.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are big difference. But I was like, okay, what's going to be my motivation moving forward? And then it just so happened that my buddy that was helping me out with everything, he had done this food challenge before, which I had never done a food challenge before, but it was a 28-inch pizza challenge that weighed about 11 pounds in St. Louis, Missouri.
Holy
he had tried it with an old football coach, okay. And they just lost miserably. And so he
28 inches, what is that, diameter?
28 inches diameter.
Now, is that big? I don't know how big a pizza is. Is that big relative to a pizza? It's enormous?
Well, it's definitely, they call it a party pizza.
Oh, okay. So it's like one of those large pies.
Like, yes. Yeah.
Like 28 pizza, inches but it was 30 ramen. Inches.
Or, yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, you definitely have to have a special oven. Because, yep. I mean, like Papa John's is like 12 inches, 6 inches.
Yeah, or 16 inches 16 maybe. Yeah, inches, like yeah. Twice the size of a normal pizza.
Well, and then once you get into that big of a diameter,
right,
just
right.
It just gets crazy with the area that happens. I mean, the difference between a 30-inch pizza and a 28-inch pizza, while just 2 inches in diameter, is a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole ring, failed. A whole ring of 2-inch ring all the way.
Oh
all
yeah,
the pizza. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then like, plus, you said there was stuff on the pizza, right? And there's a lot of surface to cover.
Yeah, you could either go with 2 meat toppings or 4 vegetable toppings.
Okay.
He had gone with bacon with the previous partner, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Because when you're eating that much, you don't want to have something that's so salty.
Yeah.
And so he said he wanted to try this challenge again with me because he
what
knew
you
I could eat.
For this challenge? This wasn't a competition. This was at a restaurant, right?
It was at a restaurant called Pointer's Delivery or Pointer's Pizza.
Okay.
We had 1 hour to finish this pizza. And if we won, we were going to get the $50 pizza for free, which okay. would have been $50 if we lost. But then more importantly, we would have gotten a check for $500.
Oh, that's better
than that was one of the driving motivations. Right. So I was like, yeah, that'd be a fun way to treat ourselves. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So ended up, he came down to Kansas City from St. Louis to help with final photos and stuff like that. The winner of the transformation contest was going to get a trip to Auckland, New Zealand to appear on the show Spartacus. And so I went all out. I went on a Halloween costume website and bought this Spartacus outfit and put a bunch of baby oil on and got a 2-week fake tanning package stuff like that. So I went all out.
Yeah.
But then a week after taking the final photos, I came back to St. Louis and we did that challenge and we ended up winning. I think our official time was like 48 minutes. And then that's what kind of really got me into all these food challenges and everything that I'm still doing today.
Right.
My cousin is actually the inspiration for the YouTube and the Facebook and everything that I'm doing now with that. But yeah, so 2 inspirations. My cousin Patrick, he had just happened to be off the day that we were going to do that pizza challenge. And
okay,
he said,
okay.
If you two idiots are going to do this, I'm going to go film it. And so he came with me, and thankfully he did because he drove me home because I felt like hell after that.
Sure. And plus now you're getting good content, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, but that was just like not a dare, but it was like your first thing to make money. Most of the contests you do are more than 2 people, right?
No, I mostly do food challenges. So the contests are a whole bunch of people against each other. Mine's pretty much, yeah, me versus food. And we have big events where people come in and they watch me do the challenge.
Oh, so that's different.
Yeah, we do like a big meet and greet before and after.
Contest. So when they do the cocktail eating contest, there's a ton of people in that one. That's different. That's not – it's you coming out and say, hey, I'll eat 300 hot dogs and here's everybody going to donate money and whatever they're going to do, right?
That is possible. I've done a couple of those. In San Diego, a restaurant committed that they would donate $20 to a local children's hospital for every taco I ate. And then they were just street tacos. And if you can eat, you can eat a lot of street tacos. So I was like, okay, is there a cap on this? I mean, I don't know what your budget is for this. And he's like, oh, no, just go ahead. I ended up eating 75.
That's funny. So that's
it was like $1,400 or something. Yeah. So it ended up being really cool. It was awesome.
So how do you find your challenge? You've done a lot. You said 800 some odd challenges, right? How do you set?
Yeah, 829. As far as the United States goes, I have a team now that's called Further You. I'm part of that, and it's run by my buddy. And then he's got a team as well, a sales team, that they pretty much set my schedule for me. Okay. It kind of is, there's a lot of restaurants with food challenges, but also there's a lot fewer than there used to be. So not only do we try to get events set up at restaurants with food challenges, but we also, there's a big market, just restaurants wanting to promote themselves, cold calling restaurants and seeing if they're interested in starting a challenge and having me come in to do an event.
I see. So you guys both find challenges, like these places that have their, like their Whopper burger, and if you eat it, you get whatever.
Yeah.
Versus you guys set things up as a PR.
Yeah, we also have a program where we're able to, or a system where we're able to help restaurants create the food challenges using their menu and trying to accent their menu. And then we'll set up an event. We've got a communications girl named Whitney that I graduated round two with. She helps with all of the, like, getting the marketing stuff out to, like, the local news and trying to get publicity and stuff like that. So
now you told me that you don't make a lot of money doing the food challenges. It's really the YouTube channel,
yes,
and the video and the Facebook channel that you get all this content for, right?
Yeah, the food challenges is pretty much from it's saving money,
like,
because I never have to pay for any of the food. I always win and get the free meals.
That was your expense.
And because we do the events, even when I lose, we still usually get the meal free, so that's nice.
Right.
But yeah, no, the social media is where the money is.
Yeah,
it's definitely not. You have to really, really hustle if you're wanting to make money just from the food challenges and even eating contests themselves.
Right. Okay. And you, and the channel you monetize because you have whatever, a million subscribers, and therefore you get advertising and people want to, right, pay to
make. Yeah, we've got 1,040,000, I think, on Facebook following. And then we've got, we've got 970,000 on YouTube. So we're almost hitting the gold play button.
Maybe I'll help you get over the mark.
Yes, that would be much appreciated. Anything would be helpful now. Right now is not a good time.
No, you can't go out and do these things, right? You're stuck.
Well, yeah, now we're doing a new series called Dinner is Served. So, but the thing with YouTube and everything is that there's a lot more people home and watching stuff.
Right.
But also, there's a lot more people publishing content.
Right, a ton of
content. And there's a lot fewer advertisers putting out ads.
Right, but you could be like Hot Wings. You could do your food challenge online, right? People will watch you.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to do some live streams as well. But yeah, what we're doing is Dinner is Served, which is kind of a way to give back, or not really give back, but help the local community around me in Springfield. And then hopefully, since most of our viewers don't live in Springfield, hopefully make them hungry and inspire them to go out and support local small businesses around them. Like, we just published a Thai and Chinese food yesterday using a restaurant. I'll go to a restaurant local in Springfield and get, yeah, I'll use their menu and get like family bundles or whatever I need to do, anywhere from like $70 to $100 worth of food. And then we come back and then we eat it all at my house and then film a video doing that.
And then what did you do? You publish the recipes so people can make them at home or no?
No, not recipes. We just buy the food from the restaurants.
And they can go and find their support their local restaurant and find
them. Yes, yeah, yeah. The goal is to make them hungry. And while still I'm getting my body ready and trained for 2020, keeping my stomach capacity up and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, because if you take off for several months, your stomach's going to shrink.
Yes, yeah, but that also is a good thing. The stomach muscle is, you kind of treat it just like your skeletal muscles, biceps, chest, legs, and stuff like that. You don't want to work it all the time.
Right.
So I work it enough when I'm on my tours because I'm doing food challenges every day.
Yeah.
So it's nice. I just finished up earlier this year a 12-week break where I just really only had small meals. I didn't really have any big meals at all.
Right.
Just letting my stomach contract back and rest.
So
now I'm using it again.
So let's talk about, tell me some of the craziest stories. Like, I want to hear like the craziest stuff you've eaten, either in quantity or the type of food. Like, crazy story. You must have a ton of stories.
I do. Yeah, there's nothing that crazy as far as food, though, because with food challenges, restaurants don't really get too crazy, because usually the crazier stuff is, it's definitely not a safe thing to do,
right,
as far as business-wise, because not many people are into it.
Right.
I think 40 to 60% of food challenges are burgers or pizzas, steaks, stuff like that, all stuff that a lot of people like.
Okay.
Because you don't want to spend all this time creating a food challenge that nobody orders. So, but like, even in the, even I've been to 37 countries for food challenges. The goal is to get to 50, but even in like Asia and some of the crazier food countries, everything's American based.
Really?
Like all these places with food challenges, a lot of the times it's Americans living over there that decided to create a food challenge, or else they'll be at American style restaurants. So a lot of them are American based. Like even in the Philippines where they have some crazy stuff. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever had balut?
No, what's that?
It's fertilized duck embryo, basically.
Ugh.
Yes. Yeah. If you think about it, it is like that. But if you actually just don't think about it.
Is it raw?
No, it's cooked.
So it's basically like a half-grown duck. And
yeah, for like 7 days or 14 days or something like that, they let it go, and then they basically kill it. And then they
duck.
And then they hard-boil it as an egg.
So
when you crack it, it's almost just like a regular hard-boiled egg.
So it's a half-egg fetus.
But then you also see feathers popping out, and yeah.
So did you eat those? No, you didn't eat those.
We did try it. We did try it.
Is it gross?
You know what? As long as you don't like think about it, it was actually pretty good. It kind of, I know it's an overused thing, but it almost tastes like chicken.
Yeah. I don't know if you, is a little bit off the topic, but there was this show on with Henry Winkler, George Foreman. Did you see it with Terry Bradshaw? And they were traveling throughout Asia and they were eating some really weird stuff. And George Foreman, he was fine because where he grew up, I think they got to either somewhere in China or somewhere in Japan and they were eating some of this. This is good. What is it? And the woman said, it's pork vagina.
Oh, my God!
And George is like, oh, this is good. And I guess it was William Shatner, fell off his chair. Terry Bradshaw almost threw up. He thought it was disgusting.
Well, I did a there was a show in Missouri called Truck Stop Missouri. It was on the Travel Channel. Okay. I went from Truck Stop Missouri to Truck Stop USA, just trying to get a bigger audience. But they had an eating contest there, and it was going to consist of rounds. I went and tried it. And they all had normal foods for like the first three rounds, but then the championship round, there was like four of us that were still in it. It was a mystery meat.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. And so then it just came out fried, and none of us really thought about it because it looked almost like
Rocky Mountain oysters, right? Like
that's what it was.
They were
that's
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah. So we started eating for like a minute because we had a minute and a half to eat.
Yeah.
We started eating for a minute, and then it came on the PA or the MC. What these guys are eating is Rocky Mountain oysters. Yeah. And then two of the four people that were eating dropped right off. I mean, we were all eating it normally.
Yeah.
But once they found out what it was, they dropped off. Then they started, right.
Right.
So I just kept on just eating.
Well, they taste good before you knew what they were, right? So
yes. Well, have you ever had haggis or black pudding?
No, but I know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when fried, a lot of stuff is good.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's, you know, they probably take dog poop and fry it up and you wouldn't know.
I don't know if I want to try that either.
But they say you put everything in bacon and it tastes good. But
yeah, bacon wrap.
I think I remember a story. My father was at a convention or something out in the Midwest and he was at a bar with some people and they ordered these Rocky Mountain oysters. He didn't know. He's from New Jersey. He's eating this stuff. And, oh, this is good. And his friend said, you know what those are, don't they? He says, yeah, I don't know. Rocky Mountain oysters. What are they? He says, they're hog's balls. He was like, oh.
Yeah.
Didn't feel too
good. People hear oysters and they start thinking seafood. And they're like, oh, these are good.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty fun. I haven't had too many exotic foods. I've had some different kind of meats like, well, venison, of course. I've had water buffalo once. I had bear. I had turtle once. But that was
tasty. I've always wanted to have alligator tail. I've never had it.
Tail versus other alligator meats?
Well, I've always heard it just that's good and it tastes like chicken.
I've had regular alligator. It's a little chewy, but yeah, it tastes like chicken.
When I was in Honduras for a cruise, I got iguana. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, there's probably like it's the same as eating frog legs or something.
Yeah.
Like chicken. But yeah, you get to these. I have a friend, she travels the world and she's eating some nasty stuff down South America. They eat, or even in Asia, they eat those, or the grub worms, you know,
I don't know if I can do that. I'm not really a live person.
Yeah.
No, like I'll eat some weird stuff, but I don't know if I want it live and like crawling and slithering down my throat.
They eat guinea pig down there too.
Oh, wow.
Not live, not raw.
Okay. They
cook it, but it's yeah. Ugh. And now a word from our sponsors, NowSight Marketing. The first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated.
build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
I don't know what it is, but I like eating whole fish.
Yeah? Like, what do you mean? Like whole fish?
Like not eating the bones and stuff, but like ordering a whole fish.
Yeah, like branzino and stuff like that.
Yeah. I had that in the Philippines as well, which that wasn't weird. I did eat the fish eyes. They're like, oh, you got to eat those. I'm like, what? Yeah. It didn't really taste like much at all.
No, they did. Oh, yeah, they're big on that. I know in other countries, like in Europe and stuff, they tend to bring out fish fresh, and it's the whole fish. They don't.
Yeah.
That's how they show you that it's fresh. Here you go. Here's the fish.
And then once it's that's some crazy stuff. Have you been to Asia?
No.
The markets are just insane.
I can imagine. I've seen
pictures. There is zero. My sister comes from the restaurant industry, or not really restaurant.
That's probably where coronavirus came from. All these open markets.
Well, she's got a hospitality and restaurant administration degree. So in that, and I've got it. I'm certified, I think, too, if I remember right. But in all like the food handling, food prep and stuff, there's none of that there.
Blood everywhere. They just cut
things up. Yes. You just see fish and chickens and fish getting their heads chopped off and just people whacking them with cleavers. It's crazy.
Things flying everywhere. Yeah.
It's nothing that you'd allow here.
No health department. Buy and giving them a certificate or anything.
No, definitely not.
So what's the largest amount of food you've ever eaten in one challenge?
I've done, I think, 3 or 4 food challenges that were right in between 9 and 9.5 pounds.
Of what?
It's Mexican food is the easiest.
Yeah, how come?
Because it's already broken up.
Oh, that makes sense.
Steak is pretty easy. It just takes a little bit longer to eat. Just because you got to chop it up and stuff. But like when you're eating a burrito or Mexican food or not, that's Mexican food, but tacos or anything like that. I mean, ground beef, shredded beef, all that stuff's already cut up.
Right.
You don't really need to spend too much time chewing. And if you have a lot of sauce on your food, that makes it easier to eat as well.
Oh, it's
like a wet burrito is one of the easiest things to eat because the red sauce or the queso or whatever you have all over the tortillas soaks into the tortilla and makes them easier to swallow faster.
Well, that makes sense. That must be why they make the hot dog buns wet when they're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm not a person that can dunk hot dogs in water. Yeah. If I do a contest like that, I use regular lemonade.
Have you ever done, you've done a hot dog food challenge?
I've never done the 4th of July one, but I have done them. My best is 31 in 10 minutes.
What's the record? What are the records?
73.
Yeah, 73, but not in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, 73.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut's a whole different animal.
Yeah, he's a crazy man. But he only does hot dog challenges, right? Isn't that his thing? Or does he do all kinds of challenges?
Well, he does. He's been doing it for like 12. He's won Nathan's, I think, 11 or 12 times.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do as much as he used to.
Right.
He's not as active. But, that's his one. He'll compete in events, and then there are a couple eaters now that can beat him in some foods, but also too, he doesn't train as like he does for hot dogs, like he does for all the others. So it's more about how trained and ready you are on the day that it happens. Like, Joey's good enough that he can show up, and no matter who's there, he'll still usually get top three.
Yeah,
I mean, if he really wants to win, he's probably going to win.
And there's these little Asian people that show up that I think if you piled up the hot dogs, it would be bigger than them. I don't know how they eat all these hot dogs.
Yeah, there's a guy on YouTube named Matt Stoney who actually is the one person that beat Joey. Joey had just an off year, and Matt was able to catch him. But he's got over, I think, like 11 million subscribers on YouTube.
11 million?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the funny things is because in the eating YouTube world, right, as far as eating challenges, there's like Matt Stoney has the most. I think he's got the diamond. So he's got like 11 million.
Right.
And then there's two people that have more subscribers than we do, but they don't really do anything anymore. They got pretty inactive channels. And then there's us that are still trying to get. I think there's like three or four. Right around me, there's Eric the Electric, Beard Meets Food is in the UK.
Eric the Electric.
All of us around like 900 to 1.2 million.
Randy, do you have a nickname?
In my food challenges, have you ever watched the arm wrestling movie, Over the Top with Sylvester?
A long time ago. That's Sylvester Stallone. Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, before every food challenge, I turn my hat just like he does before his arm wrestling matches. And I transform on the back of my hat. I have the name Atlas.
Nice.
From the very beginning, my nickname has always been Atlas. So, originally what I started was Atlas and Zeus Promotions. And Zeus was my buddy that I did the first pizza challenge with.
Oh, okay.
But he did the first two challenges with me. He lost the second, which was a solo challenge. And then now he's married. I was the best man at his wedding. He's got two kids, and I'm the godfather for his second daughter, Rose.
Right. That's a great story. So, but
he always jokes that once I get big enough, he's going to sue and collect his half.
Yeah. By then, you'll be out of the business. So you're actually transitioning from probably not too healthy eating because you're eating too much, not necessarily not too healthy, to the diet nutrition business, right? I mean, you're a dietitian.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that what I do now, they think that I think it's healthy, and it just boggles my mind. Because
you think it's healthy?
Yes. Yeah. It's like
you're eating Burger King, but you're overwhelming your body with food. It's right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's what I'm doing is definitely not anything that is considered healthy, but also too, I'm to an extent trying to maintain moderation. Like I just published my blood levels. I got a blood level test and urinalysis at the end of my 12-week diet and everything was fine. My cholesterol, I think, was 143. Triglycerides were 68.
Wow. So it came something like down. That.
Which they, of course, wouldn't have been like that day one of my diet.
Right.
So the big thing I try to monitor is my A1C and my blood glucose because diabetes is not anything that I want to deal with.
No, not at all. Does it run?
That's where a lot of the long-term problems come. But my A1C was 5.3, so I was really happy with that. Okay. Which 6.5 is diabetic. Yeah. Over 5.7, I think, is pre-diabetic.
Okay. So tell me about your diet, your studies for becoming a dietitian, where you are with that.
Yeah. In 2012, I did a second transformation. It was just for myself, but I had gotten a little bit too carried away with the food challenges and got pretty big. So I took 10 weeks off.
Okay.
And then during that, I was using kind of a system that helped me track myself. Based on the sport of bowling. And then I was telling my buddy and a couple other people about this afterwards, and they're like, Randy, you need to expand on this. So I started writing the actual book in 2015. Okay. And then later on that year, I was looking into ways of getting accredited and what I needed to do to actually give the book and my system that I was working on some accreditation or some build a reputation behind everything.
Yeah.
Can't just be a professional leader that goes right into saying, hey, do this.
Right.
So I kind of realized when I was doing all my research that anything besides becoming a registered dietitian is kind of half-assed.
Right.
I mean, you're not really going to get respect from anybody that has knowledge of stuff by getting an online certificate. So I figured that I needed to invest the time, the money, and the couple years into becoming a registered dietitian. And then I was living with mom and dad still in St. Louis, just because we weren't really making any money off the channels yet.
Right.
And so there's like 7 schools in Missouri where you could get the right degree from. And the 2 in St. Louis for 1 year was equal to 3 years of tuition at Springfield, where I got my first degree. So I decided in 2016 to move back to Springfield, where I still live. I still got the same apartment, but dietetics is an underperforming industry. They're definitely not maxed out of their potential. It's like
there's room for professionals to enter.
Yes. Yeah. There's like dietitians have zero presence on social media.
Right.
There's a couple dietitians with a couple 100,000 Instagram followers, but there's absolutely none with a substantial amount of followers on video platforms.
Right.
And then, so on the day I become a dietitian, I'll be the number one followed dietitian in the world.
Yeah. And then you can get your message out easier than other people.
Yes.
Because you have followers.
Yes. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of opportunities as far as brand deals and sponsorships and stuff like that, as long as they fit everything that I'm working on.
So Randy, let me ask you a question. If you go back to 2010, when you were starting, you know, you were coming out of football and you said, well, I'm 325, I need to be 225. And then your friend said, well, let's do this eating challenge. Were you able to still lose the weight over time, or did the eating food challenges kind of stand in the way of that?
Well, the food challenges were kind of a way to stay motivated to keep on working out.
Oh, okay.
I used to work out to be better at sports. But then once I was done with sports, since I got off my mom and dad's insurance when I was 26, I haven't really had that great of health insurance. And so I never really was able to play sports because I knew that if I got hurt, I didn't really have the money to fix it.
Yeah. Oy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I always just kind of did basic stuff as far as exercise and weights, and stopped doing the heavy weights because I didn't want to tear anything or anything like that. So doing the food challenges was, I knew that I would get out of control weight-wise if I didn't exercise a lot. So I was still working construction, and I was doing all that during the week, dieting very hard during the week, doing all my exercise, and then I was doing the food challenges on the weekends.
I see. So you would lay off of food in between challenges, so you weren't really adding a ton of calories every week.
Yes. I was trying to stay as slim as I could be, or at least minimize the weight gain.
Right. Now, did the guys in the construction jobs, did they know what you were doing, all these food challenges?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they knew. And they loved it. As long as it didn't interfere with my job.
Yeah, of course, but they probably loved seeing you on the weekends eating a 28-ounce steak or whatever it is.
Yeah, whenever I was doing something around the Kansas City area, a lot of them came to watch.
Right. Do you like hot, spicy food or no?
I like jalapenos.
Yeah.
When you get up to habaneros,
yeah,
I can do habaneros too, but once you get up to ghost peppers, then I start to tail off. Those suck.
I'm a bourbon drinker. I like bourbon and tequila. So we take dried ghost peppers or scorpion peppers, and we put them in and let them soak in. It's good.
But better you than me.
You put a lot in there. You got to do a very small.
I did a wing challenge in like 2012 that was covered with a sauce that was filled with Trinidad Moruga scorpion peppers. Oh. It scarred me for life.
What is it, like 2 million on the Scoville?
It took me 2.5 minutes to eat 10 wings.
Yeah.
It took me 2.5 hours to be able to walk out of the bathroom.
Yeah, because it went right through, right?
Oh, it was crazy. Oh, no, it all came up.
Do you ever watch, what's the thing?
I don't preach throwing up as a safe thing to do or anything like that. It's not a preferred method of weight management or anything like that. But when you get to Carolina Reapers, Trinidad Moruga, scorpion peppers and stuff like that, I don't understand how anybody would want that going through their body.
Some people, it doesn't bother them. Have you watched, what's that, Hot Wings? Hot Ones.
Hot Ones, yeah.
Yeah, what's his name? Seth something. He has all the stars on there, makes them eat the hot food, and they're tearing.
Oh, yeah.
Talk or whatever.
Yeah, some freak out and some can handle it.
Yeah.
But then also, too, I've seen on reality shows where they found people that give them a Carolina Reaper pepper and they eat it like it's peppermint patty.
Yeah, I guess their bodies can handle it. Well, who was the guy Man versus Food. Was he with the one who used to do there was some guy where they used to do like really ghost pepper.
Richmond. Yeah, probably Adam Richmond. Adam Richmond was a lot better at spicy food challenges than he was at quantity.
Right.
I think he got like 37 wins during his 4 years or something like that. Spicy a lot challenges. Of them were spicy.
Yeah, yeah. So do a lot of these guys like
that's a mental game at the end of the day.
I guess either mental or biological if it's running through you.
Yeah. Well, that's after. I mean, the goal of the food challenge is to get the win. How you react to it afterwards, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, you ever throw
as far as TV watch.
You ever get overwhelmed with the food and had to throw up after you did the food challenge?
Yeah, it's happened a couple times where the food just doesn't sit right.
Yeah, but not a lot.
When the body says no, you can't just tell it. You can't say, oh, keep it down, buddy. Come on, you can do it.
Right. Well, I can't imagine these guys eating 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes if they don't vomit their brains out afterward.
To say that they keep all that down would be a lie.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, no, you don't want your body. What I do is a lot of food. But 73 hot dogs with all the liquid it takes to get all that down is a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to get...
And nobody eats a hot dog because it's healthy.
Now, that's true, too. That's another problem, right? Tube steaks. There's nothing good in those things. But your body is... You know, that's why a lot of people get sick, I read, during, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, like, because you eat so much food, your body gets overwhelmed and it doesn't know what to do. I mean, you're at least trained. Like, your body knows what to do.
Yeah, my body's a lot more used to it, but also... Before all my events, I take digestive enzymes.
So you prepare your body to do more digestion than it normally does.
Yes. Yeah. I just call them reserves. Reserves for my normal pancreatic enzymes and stuff like that. Because one of my things is, and that's one of the reasons I'm still doing the food challenges for our channel, that Dinner is Served series. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm still losing weight. Okay. It's because I'm home. When I'm on the road, I am so often in the car traveling or on a plane or something like that. It's so hard to maintain any kind of exercise regimen while you're always traveling and on the road.
Yeah, you got to like run stairs in the hotel or something if they don't.
Yeah. And I just bought a new van. Not a new van, but new to me. Yeah. So it's going to be able to keep my bike and my stationary bike that I'll be able to ride and stuff during the upcoming tours once all this virus stuff dies down.
So tell us about your upcoming tour. What's the plan? I mean, you'd probably be on it already, right?
We would have started on April 7th. I think I'd already be in like Texas now or something like that. But
it's a national tour in this country.
Yes. Yeah. Until the end of October, I'm going to be mostly focused on the United States.
Okay.
And then in November, the goal is to do like a 5-week trip around the UK, Ireland, and then I'm going to get to Switzerland. And then maybe a couple other places before I come home for Christmas. But then I'm going to be starting my dietetic internship. So in order to become a dietitian, you have to do a 4-year degree, right, which I already got that. But then you have to do a 1,200-hour dietetic internship.
Right.
Which there's only 2 times a year that you can apply, February and then December. Okay. I'm going to be applying in February of next year so that I can start in August of 2021. And so I'm going to be just stationary doing my internship for like 9 months.
Right.
Because 1,200 hours is a lot of hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to be stationary. So for the whole first half of 2021, I'm going to be traveling all over the world in order to get my countries up. I want to get up to 50 countries, but also I need to film enough videos in order for us to have enough content for the channel, at least for the first couple months of my dietetic internship.
Right.
And then during my internship, I'm going to be getting back down to like 245 pounds, which that'll be fun, which will be easier to do because I'll be stationary, not doing that many food challenges, just working on my internship.
Got it. Okay. So where are you going to be out in my area in the next, assuming we get out of the house at some point?
Tell me where you're at again.
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. We've already had the trip planned, like I said, going all around Tennessee, South Carolina, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, the Florida Panhandle, and then into Texas.
Okay.
So possibly New Orleans, too.
I guess
we have 27 events set up, all the restaurants ready to go.
Yeah.
2 have dropped, but I think they're going to join back on. So the plan is to do the exact same tour, but just starting way later.
So you think
I think
June you could get out sometime, hopefully?
Yeah, we're wanting to start a lot. I mean, Trump's pushing some states to start back up May 3rd.
Down in Southeast, they're open already.
Yeah, yeah. So our goal is to start up about 2 to 3 weeks after all of the restaurants are back up and going.
Right.
Just because we want people at our events, we want everybody feeling safe.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen during the first 2 weeks.
No, you're right. But
people aren't just going to start running out to restaurants.
Right, but you'll be very helpful because there'll be an attraction for people to come, even if they.
Yeah, we'll be live streaming all the events we can. We'll have the videos pumping out. Yeah, the goal will be, and that's one of the sales things that we're trying to do, is people aren't just going to start coming out to restaurants. We need to give them a reason.
Right.
And I haven't been to those areas in a long time, so. A lot of people are going to want to come and check out the restaurants and come visit and jump-starting the business.
Yeah, and then you'll have more content for the YouTube channel. Now, you upload the videos right from the road?
I can, yes. Yeah, I have two full-time editors, one here in Springfield named Arthur, who does all the video shooting for anything around here. But then I have the guy that I started everything with really in 2013. Once he joined on, everything started getting better because I don't like to edit.
Right.
Editing sucks.
Yeah, and some of these guys know what they're doing. It's hard.
Yes. Yeah, unless you know what you're doing and you really enjoy it, the video is not going to be good.
Right.
And so Magic Mitch Dombrowski, who also does food challenges too, he lives up in the Green Bay area.
Right. You told me that, Magic Mitch.
Yeah. Those two guys do all the videos, and then they send me the video files through Google Drive or whatever, and then I upload them to the channels.
Right, you told me he's Magic Mitch on Podcast Mitch, different guy.
Yes, yeah. And so I was never really a big Starbucks supporter or whatnot.
Right,
I just didn't really ever go to coffee shops in general. But since I started traveling and needing to upload all the videos and stuff,
yeah, they have hotspots.
The convenience of Starbucks is definitely nice. Of always being able to have a reliable internet.
Right. All right. So when we get this episode edited, we'll put a link to the YouTube channel and your Facebook channel. If you have any books or materials, anything you want to have a link to, let me know.
Okay.
Can follow.
Yeah.
You.
If anybody's wondering any questions related to food challenges, definitely check out foodchallenges.com. We have a global database of all the food challenges that we know of around the world.
Good.
That my team and I maintain. And then if you're wondering where I'm going to be, I've got a redirecting URL, randysantelschedule.com.
Okay.
We'll go right to the most updated schedule page, which right now there's no updates because we don't really know when we're going to start. But once we do have some final details, I'll get that page updated. And I'm very excited now that I have all this gift of all this time.
Right.
I'm going to be revamping randysantel.com. So I originally created it in 2012. It's super old now. It's not mobile friendly at all. Time to redo it. I was going to wait more and closer until when I'm becoming a dietitian, but I figured now's the time. It's going to help organize the YouTube channel as well because we're going to have a map on it. Where, and this is kind of what I've been thinking about all the years I've been doing all this, there's going to be a massive map that you guys can get on, and then there will be dots or bubbles on every single place in the world that I've done a food challenge at, which is going to have a link to the YouTube video.
Whichever one was done in Texas, click on it, you can watch it.
Yes, yeah. So that'll be a sales thing too, trying to... Like, I've never been to Sacramento before, so if you get on the map, nothing will pop up for Sacramento. We'll be able to contact these places and say, hey, we're getting all this traffic to randysantel.com. Your restaurant, maybe another one, are going to be the only ones that show up. So it'll be cool.
So randysantel.com, that's going to be your dietitian site, basically, right?
The name of the diet is going to be the actual website, but I'll always have my personal website, randysantel.com, too, yeah.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is a production of Mitchell C. Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.